It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid, but there are lots of reasons to be, or people are trying to make us afraid. They need us afraid. You know, it makes your cortex mush. They can mold it. You know, imagine that. You know, you got the big, bad, evil guys sitting there, their fingers, you know, like they're giving you a scalp massage without the scalp. They're just going straight on the brain. They're going, yeah, so we'll massage a little bit here, and we'll make it go a little bit there, and we'll do, you know, something there. Ooh, I got Jordan Page calling in on my phone right now. Maybe he's listening. Hey, Jordan, I'll call you back during the break, man. The one thing that I want to finish this story I promised you in the next hour. You know, I get to this stuff eventually. You know, that's why you got to listen. Well, I go into, I'd set up this meeting with the head of the National Trade Data Bank. His name was Jack Cremins. Yeah, I think that's what it was. So I go in, and his assistant, that's between Christmas and New Year's during that week, it's like, I don't know, Wednesday, Thursday, something like that. And they're coming in for this meeting. All right, fine, we got to deal with this. These are the Republicans. This is, you know, Robert Mosbacher was part of what was called Team 100. Daddy Bush had this thing where if you raised $100,000, then you got to be on the list and make sure you get your ambassadorship to Jamaica or something, you know, whatever. So they, his gig for setting this up, Cremins, he wanted to be head of commerce, Secretary of Commerce. Why? Now, here's the head guy. This is the guy that comes up with Team 100 for Bush. This is the person that everybody that's raised $100,000, a little thing, get their little day. He's the guy that did it. So how many, I don't know, how many millions of dollars did they get with that? I don't know. Doesn't matter. So this is the lead, man. This is the point. This is what they wanted. This is it. Now, here's former Vice President of the United States for 8 years, Bush. He was running for president, and then Reagan came in and took it away from him. And the boys go in and say, Reagan, you know what? The only way you're going to see the White House is as a tourist unless you make George Herbert Walker here your VP. Okay, whatever. He's, you know, let's go get, you know, the Soviet Union. His focus was communism. He didn't realize that, you know, there was a knife pointed at his back here doing the same thing. You know, fascism, ism, whatever ism, collectivism, statism, ism. All right. So there's an old cartoon. Yeah, I got to write that down. Ism cartoon. I'll put that on today's archive too, because it was 1940s or something. It was a cartoon that was done, you know, step right up, got your ism right here, you know, and then it had another character arguing free markets and so on. And that was amazing that this kind of rhetoric has been going on forever. And you think this is new. It's not. So I go in and had this meeting with him, and I can tell right away what was going on. They knew that I knew what was going on. They just didn't care. They're like, yeah, you know, we buy our bullets by the pallet. I mean, I don't know, what do you do? You know, these are the boys. His assistant, however, was not as confident, and he was nervous. He knew what was going on, too, and there's this kid and these couple of kids coming in. They're going to tell him what fur, or going to blow the whistle or something. Well, Jack, he knew better. He's like, I already know. We got the press. We control this. It's nothing. Man, quit, you know, lighten up, man. Just relax, and I'll show you how to deal with these youngins. You know, yeah, it's a short segment. But when we come back, you know, pinky swear, I'll get right into it, of having a meeting with the big boys, sitting there nose to nose, and then I learned something. And what do I do with that knowledge?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Out in your own way. It is these freedoms that have made America strong.
Okay, so we got our freedom. But management's lousing up everything.
Labor is at fault. It's ruining the country.
My constituents, as your elected representative, I can assure you labor's right. Management's right. I'm strictly neutral.
Labor, management, politicians, phooey. They can't tell corn from oats.
What? It's only
right.
Hurry, step right up, folks. Here's the answer to your problems. Dr. Utopia's sensational new discovery, ism. Ism will cure any ailment of the body politic. It's terrific. It's tremendous. Once you swallow the contents of this bottle, you'll have the bountiful benefit of higher wages, shorter hours, and security. Enormous profits, no strikes. Remember, you're the big boss. Government control, no worry about votes. Name your own salary. Bigger crops, lower costs. Why, ism even makes the weather perfect every day. And now then, because we are introducing this amazing item for the first time in this country, it isn't going to cost you 1 cent. All you have to do is sign this little scrap of paper, and you get your bottle absolutely free.
I hereby turn over to Ism Incorporated everything I have, including my freedom and the freedom of my children and my children's children, in return for which said ism promises to take care of me forever.
Pardon me.
And who are you, my good man?
I'm John Q. Public.
Ah, my fine friend, you're just in time to share this generous and gigantic offer. Sign right here.
Mind if I read it first?
Hurry up,
don't
now here!
Bother to me.
Let me.
Keep your shirts on, boys. Including my freedom. Freedom? Well, sign away my freedom. Why, this is ridiculous.
Don't be corny, brother.
Sure, our system of free enterprise isn't perfect. But before we throw it away for some imported double talk, let's turn the clock back a few years to see what it's done for us. For example...
And then it goes into a lot. There's a preview, a preface to that, too. They talk about things and the way why our country works the way it does. And then they get into the ism thing. Step right up, get your ism right here. Your communism, fascism, capitalism, whatever ism. All right? So this is... None of this stuff is new. You know, this has been going on forever. Heck, I think that cartoon was done back in the 40s. And I just linked it up to the today's archive so you can watch it. Because it's really, it's a nine and a half minute video. And I just played you a couple minutes there. But it's called Make Mine Freedom. This battle has been going on forever. So I have the ism sales pitch as a young man, or give me what fur, you know, how they're going to, you know, you turn over everything, we're going to take care of you, right? And I'm going, really? Well, all we want is, I just need the information of, you know, certain basic things of where to ship my dad's product, kind of, you know, what, I just stay out of the way. I got covered, man. You're screaming during the 88 campaign and bashing Toyotas on Capitol Lawn and, you know, American flag, and we got to export and trade deficit and yada, yada, yada. Well, here I am. You know, help my dad's company for nothing. I just, you know, I felt this kind of patriotism. We're going to, here it's a quality product. Everybody wants it. It's, you know, it wasn't cheap. But, you know, I'm going, wow, you know, there's orders overseas. We can help America, you know, MK. So I met with, I pulled threads. All the information that I wanted, I could see, was being collected in a thing called the National Trade Data Bank. It was part of the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act that was passed in 88, right after Bush became president. So I just, you know, laser beamed in on that. I followed this legislation to where all this data was being accumulated because I knew it had what I wanted. I just wanted the information. And the way the law was written is that this information is accumulated and they were just starting to put things on CD. I mean, this is back in the day. You know, CDs, you got a reader, man. It's the size of a bread box. Hitachi gave me a CD reader. I had a Senior Corps of Retired Executives score, was willing to help people that wanted help exporting here in Arizona at the Arizona State Department of Commerce that they had just created. Then we had the offices up there. They weren't doing anything for anybody. So I got furniture donated. I got Tandy computers, which is Texas Instruments. Tandy donated a computer. Hitachi, a CD writer. Got the disk from the Census Bureau because the Department of Commerce is part of Census. And they gave me this database, just a D-base. And you had to, you know, take and do the fields and everything and create. And I had a guy doing that from SCORE. I was taking away all their excuses. And I go up, and I had all this information of all the hardship I had to even get this far. All the people that said no. All the people that said yes. All of the roadblocks. Well, the reason was the politics. Blah, 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 blah. And the main thing was the law. And the law made this information available to the public. That's how you get it passed. So what do? They accumulate all this information using tax money so only the government and their buddies can have it? Well, that's what they wanted. You know, there were certain freight forwarders that they selected that would get access to the information where you had to pay $8,000 for this information. It was collected for free for them, and then they give it to certain people. So I'm just like, you know, I'm pulling these threads. You know, it was election law. Later, I go, how do they get away with this stuff? Because they eliminate competition before it starts. So that's what started me off in the elections and the political process and so on, and to highlight what this stuff was. Because I was getting some press even back then. You know, front page of the business section in Arizona Republic. I'm going there and causing a ruckus and whatever. And then all of a sudden, 1990 campaign for governor. Everybody's, oh, yeah, Ernie, yeah, we, you know, this is a great issue, and we want to, and we're here to fix, and everything. They're all liars. All liars, liars, liars. And I'm telling you, I know the feeling, because I felt it, that these young people now and the revolutionaries are feeling. And multiply what happened to me 20 years ago times tens of thousands. This is why I knew what was going to happen, because I was them. There's thousands and thousands of these people. How do you stop that? You can't. You couldn't stop me. I already knew it was going to happen. I go to my wife. I said, look, I need 10 years just to even, you know, to give this a good what for that I did my part, 10 years. In 2000, we had the discussion then. I said, baby, you just tell me and we'll just focus on the restaurant and do whatever. And she's like, nope, let's go. Keep doing it. I see what's happening. So it took 10 years, but, you know, she's on board. And really got on board after the Ron Paul thing. I mean, she's a self-starter now. You know, she's not just helping me. I'm helping her. So I'm going, all right. I go and I meet with these guys, and I could see what they were doing. They used this law to use all government agencies to collect all economic data and put it into one place. What was interesting to me is that they had all these agencies. I'll bring that law in one day and read it off to you, because I have it all marked and so on, and I read it all the way through, and it's about an inch thick. And I go, they have Department of Defense. They even admitted to the National Security Administration. This is, the NSA was kind of, you know, what? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, they were listed in there. So I always assumed everybody knew. You know, it wasn't until later I found out it was like they were denying it even existed. You know, so we have the NSA, CIA, FBI, Department of Defense. You know, we had all kinds of different military stuff. Everybody except the Small Business Administration. Just as a kid, I'm going, wasn't this for small business? I mean, you're sitting here talking, and you don't have them. Why? So I just asked that question. Like, dang it. You know, we should have camouflaged it better. So they took all this data, and then they used it. To what? For them and their buddies. It was their gang with a flag, because they have it. Now you think about things now like National ID database, Real ID, the census, all this stuff. They want the same kind of data, just not on where you spend your money and the commerce and the flow of products. They want it on the flow of you. Same mentality, same people, same outcome. If they got a number, they give you a percentage on the news and say such and such percent of this and such percent of that, one, assuming you even believe it, but whatever number, they start giving numbers about how many kids can or can't read, you know, how heavy they are, how light they are. There's going to be a government program to change that number. They want to dial. They'll justify the existence of a new dial to turn with a whole new bureaucracy, a whole new set of government jobs to go along with, you know, changing that number. Whether they can or not, it's not even the point. It's just this is a big concern, and we need more government. So they accumulated all this data. I go in with all this research, and I just laid it on the coffee table. Now, it was a big office. He had an assistant up front, young guy. Well, he was probably about 30, 35. And then this guy, you know, he was a seasoned one of the boys. I mean, that guy, man, he knew the secret handshake. And I go in, we sit down, and I put all my research on the coffee table, and me and my young brother-in-law think about it. You know, we're in our 20s. And what did I say to him? And then what did he say to me? You gotta wait another commercial break. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. You know, I go ahead and finish this story. You know, it's a good story, but I keep dragging it out. Yeah, I listen to the whole show. This is the way it is. The I'm going in with my brother-in-law. He was a junior at Penn State University. I'm visiting Pennsylvania or my in-laws between Christmas and New Year, Christmas and New Year's in, I think it was 1989. So this is right after Daddy Bush is elected. They just passed down the most trade competitiveness bill. There's no internet back then, really. Nobody knew it was coming. I knew. There was a thing. Germany, West Germany had a thing called Business Databanken. And what it was the internet. But they had opened it up to commerce, I mean, to individuals, to companies that were able to transfer information, especially if you had a, you know, broadband. I mean, there was T1 lines. You hear them talk about that some big banks and so on, they'd be on. It had the speed of the internet. Well, they would be able to transfer. I need a widget, and it has these dimensions, and here's the blueprints and whatever, where now, you know, you go a few years later here in America, and we're going, my email might make it someday. Certainly no graphics. So I knew that this internet thing was coming. In fact, I had meetings with Hughes Missile Systems down in Tucson that they wanted me to meet at DeConcini's Tucson office. They wanted to know what I knew, because what was going on at the time is I could see, I was advocating, I was talking to the commerce guys in DeConcini's office in Washington, and I said, look, man, I can see what's happening. This is going to be instant transfer of data on everything. They are doing it in Germany. It's called Business Databanken right now. Well, what's happening is because the military-industrial complex under Daddy Bush, and they're gearing up for another war. You know, they already had Panama, you know, was coming. There's always something, you know. There's always something. Well, what they did is they look at the military-industrial complex using this Department of Defense as the internet. A lot of people don't know that. Department of Defense created this thing. It was the ability to transmit data and orders and whatever and route around nuke cities, because the internet, it sees a, you know, even censorship, it sees it as a break in communication, just routes around it. You know, that was the whole point. That's why they go, man, we don't have any controls. We can't control. We got to get internet too. We got a new net neutrality or some whatever they call it. It's always the opposite. I mean, we know that now, right? So they created this free flow of information, and they're going, whoa, this free flow thing, man, that's beating us over the head with it. You know, you're able to listen to Declare Your Independence whenever you want. I can't have that. So what I was talking to these guys, and I said, look, you guys are talking about using the internet just for big military contracts to send out there. You have no idea what's coming. The commerce, and what it was the Hughes Missile Systems had a lobby group that was based out of Tucson that did a lot of stuff for other large companies and corporations too. And I'm going, look, you need to get, do you even know what Germany's doing? All businesses, all machinists, all manufacturing, all, it's like what we do now. You just look for anything and there it is. And I could see it. They were already starting this. I'm a young guy, man. I was grew up on Star Trek. You know, I'm 20-something years old. I'm going, hey, you know, duh. So they're like, yeah, okay, now we get it. A year later, they called and had me, wanted me to go back. No. You want to talk to me, you come up to Phoenix. So they did. They came, met me up at Deacon Sini's office up here, and that's a whole nother story and a bunch of corruption stuff. I mean, it's so deep. I so get it. You know, I got it a long time ago. It's a PSYOP thing. Anyway, so I'm in Washington. I go to Jack Crameen's, and I say, here, this is what I know. This information, by law, I should have access to this from my father's company. It's all I wanted was this. But I know what you guys are doing. You're accumulating all of this information and creating regulation to control every aspect that creates any number, you know, any flow of product in or out. Now, all of a sudden, all this stuff didn't exist before just so you can get your cut. You're like the redcoats sitting at the docks on John Hancock's ships, you know, wanting to make sure you get your cut on everything and control it. And some people get free access to information, where you can go and ship and duties and favored treatment, and they get it free if it's this freight forwarder or this company or whatever, but not everybody. It's not, because by then I'm starting to get this 14th Amendment thing. You know, I'm not a big fan, but you know, what did it say? You can't give special rights or privileges don't equally apply to everybody. Well, it was obvious what they were doing. They were doing everything they could to give special privilege to certain people. I give you bank bailouts. I mean, this is, I could see it happen. And I was idealistic. I was like, hey, man, I want to play by the rules. I've been working on this for months, and I pulled the thread and got right to one of the guys. You know what he did? He put his hand on the stack on the coffee table, and he pushed it back to me, and he looked right at me, and he goes, yeah, kid, and what are you going to do about it? And I looked at him, and I had this enormous sense of relief. I'm like, oh, God, you know, finally. And I got my brother-in-law sitting here. You know, he's junior at Penn State, wants to be an economist. He's at Moody's now. And I'm going, what did we learn? Just learn? Yep, they're screwing us, and they're not a damn thing they think we can do about it. So I looked at him, and I looked back at Jack, and I said, you know, what can one person do? I don't know, but we're going to find out. Thanks for the meeting. It's all good. I got what I wanted. Oh, I'm going to change his mind or something. Picked up all my stuff, left. And ever since that day, I have done everything I can to be creative in finding a way to combat this new world order mentality that I saw in law. I saw how they set it up. I saw how they were getting their cut. I saw how they're going to do it on a national and a global scale. No different. You know, they just bookies. They just get their cut of everything.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-943-9443.
Yeah, Bob Seger running against the wind, man. I a lot of times I think of this song. Just running against the wind. Well, you know, a lot of times you gotta just inform yourself. You gotta satisfy yourself that you've done everything you can. Well, I knew all the cliches. I got it told to me. You know, you gotta, you know, get inside to fix it and all this other crap. And you know, did you talk to your legislator? Did you write your congressman? Did you vote? Did you run for office? Did you file a lawsuit? Did you check? And you know, I went through all this. I get it. Okay, I understand, and I could see what was really the most powerful thing was not the opposition that I had to him. It was the press, the coverage, the theater of my opposition. It was the education of other people. How many minds could I free? How many people could I make aware? Well, this is before the internet and so on. So in 94, we could see the power of the internet. And we knew that when they could start doing video in 04, 05, around in 05 is when they really started having the broadband available, cable and so on the internet, that you could start doing this. So that's when we started Freedom's Phoenix. We had the idea for that back in 95, 96. You know, the logo concept, everything. We knew what we were going to do. It was just, you know, until we could have graphics and video, we knew we really couldn't compete with the big bad boys. So we were focusing on street theater. You know, which we still do, which we know is effective. When you want to get massive media coverage on something, you just go straight to the people, and sooner or later they have to cover it. You know, we have, I'm almost done with the video. I got some more video. I had a bunch of stuff from Donna and when they did the searchlight thing, and I got that edited in. Then we have Ed Vallejo, one of the other teams. He just dropped off the video from that, so I'll add that in there. And, you know, I'll come up with something. You'll get a real good perspective of what was happening at the ground level, you know, from the actor, what the people actually saw and how and why and the role that we played in that. Because we always make sure. Now, of course, it won't get reported, but people that were there, you know, when you got 10,000 people and 7,000 DVDs passed out, guess what? They got the message. That's just the way it is. I don't care what they say on, you know, Hannity. So this is when I go to Washington. I'm a young guy. It's 89. It's like Christmas time of 89. And I put all this stuff out. And I say, you know, I know what you're doing. This is what the law says. I want access to this. I, you know, that's all I want. I can see what you're doing. Yeah, kid, what are you going to do about it? That was very freeing to me. I had to, you know, just go make sure I understood what was going on and that I looked face to face with the, you know, the pointy-eared, pointy-horned, pointy-tailed, pointy-teethed, fang, blood-dripping people and said, look, man, I, you know, are we good? Do we understand what's going on? Yep. We do, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. Okay. And I go, all right, I don't know. What can one person do? I'll let you know. For the next year or two, everything that I did, all my activism, my lawsuits, everything that attacked the election process, I could see that's how they got away with this stuff. They eliminated competition before they started. There was no one to oppose them. They made sure of that. You know, it was just to what degree do they sell out and what little thing that they do in their district to get elected. But in the end, it's always about, you know, certain core things. And I'll tell you, you know, the fascist control of the central banking system and how they have legal tender laws and military bases overseas and the ability to give foreign aid to their buddies over to do whatever so the corporations can get contracts for this, that, oil, whatever. That is the center core piece of the empire that will not come up for question. You can talk about all the other ouch, quit it, domestic program, this, that, and something back and forth, and there's forces of that will go one way or another. But I'll tell you, the core shared thing by the R's and D's, you know, the big boys at the top of the pyramid, let me tell you what their thing is, the empire, which is fueled by the central banking, the Federal Reserve, and their international counterparts. This is the core. I could see that. I could see how they structured the trade laws and so on, what goes in and out, and it's all about the money flow. It's about, you know, even in foreign banks, they changed laws just recently that you have to report retroactively years. I think it's 5 years. You have to retroactively report all hard money, all gold and silver you have on deposit or in deposit safe deposit boxes or whatever in foreign banks. They want everything, all your value. They want it all tracked now. And if you don't, the fine is $10,000 a day. So this is, you know, certain things that were I could see coming. So what was the battle to that? I mean, how would I engage this? I'm just a kid. Now it's just education, just awareness. Well, the Libertarian Party was a very good vehicle for that for a long time. In fact, good enough that they needed to infiltrate it. They needed to attack it. They needed to get rid of it. They needed to belittle it. They needed whatever. Because it was too, and then they kind of convinced them, you know, beating on their self-esteem, kind of, okay, we'll say something more reasonable and so on. Oh, we don't want to talk about things like 9/11 or this or that or something. You know, I'm doing, you know, heck yeah. Heck yeah. I'm, man, oh, over here. Hello. I just hammer on this stuff. Well, a lot of other people here in Arizona, we did. That's why, you know, you got to nail it sticking up all the time. Here comes the government hammer, always pounding on it. You know, so we get Arpaio and Andrew Thomas for county attorney doing crazy stuff. We get Janet Napolitano. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, of course. You know, you have you got McCain. You know, seriously, because they need to. But the worse they are, the easier it makes my job. So everybody's like, you got to get rid of this guy or that. Well, are you kidding me? They're the best poster child for bad government I got. Yay, I don't want to replace them. I just want to run against them. So we can have some fun and education. And it's very cheap. So when I leave this with this understanding, this is what I try and share with the audience and with you guys, that it's not like I think I know. I know. And they know I know. And they know I know that they know I know. They just don't care. They don't see us as a threat. They don't see it. And when they do have us come up with a threat, what happens? I got Senate Appropriations Chairman Russell Pierce coming out with, me sending out emails, which I did again last night, is an act of domestic terrorism. Man, that's a heavy word to be slinging around. So I'm going, okay. So we do battle. Last night, Campaign for Liberty put up an evaluation of the bill that they're pushing through, saying it's not national ID. And they go, the heck it's not. You know, they have an attorney guy, researcher or something. I don't know. And you look on Freedom's Phoenix and you'll see it. And I'll link it up to today's archive. But it was – so I just sent out an email to my database I did before, my personal database that I have, that, you know, it's incorporated in Freedom's Phoenix, but this is like a personal email from me. Go check this out. And I had three links. One was this evaluation by Campaign for Liberty of this legislation they want to do, going, yeah, it's national ID. And you guys pass this, you're national ID guys. You can sit there and call it whatever you want. But it is national ID. You know, it's the same Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act. It's data that they're going to use, and they'll meld it all into, here comes Big Bubba. Okay, get used to it. The other thing was I sent them a link to police state, which is a category. We put a lot of this stuff. I go, look, man, just you want to get scared? Just look at all these stories that we put on Freedom's Phoenix in just this one category. I got almost 200 categories. I go, here, you know, just this one category, police state. And tell me there's not reason for concern. And these are articles I write, all this stuff. You know, we have our own columnist. These are stories in New York Times and Washington Post and Los Angeles Times and Associated Press and, you know, all over the place of the stories about what they're doing. Okay? Then the third link, I had three of them. The third link was my request for an ethics probe on Senator Pierce for coming after me for accurate free speech on bills that were before the deliberative bodies. And you're going to anybody that sends out accurate information to legislators. Look, you know, are you sure? Take a look at this. This is what it says. Terrorist Act. Ooh, they want to play. So, you know, I know Russell, you know, it's a game. You know, they're doing, you know, whatever their thing is. That he'll come out being, I'm Mr. Constitution. You know, I support being able Arizona to be able to make inside Arizona their own machine guns and have unrestricted permitless concealed carry, as long as when the law enforcement comes up to you, you have to declare you're armed, and they take your gun, and they do the registration number, and they check your national ID, and get you in a database and link you to the gun. You know, but you're free. You don't have to have a permit for them to do that. I'm like, seriously? Heck, that's like backdoor gun registration, you know? So I'm going, okay, whatever. You know, and the NRA, they go, oh, look at the, you know, I've been through this with them before. They were screaming for the permit process when we first did a concealed carry initiative, which in 94, which is what got us the bill anyway. And immediately we did a referendum against the law that they just passed with a permit saying we didn't want a permit. Of course, we knew we weren't going to get the support for that because they got, you know, oh, we got our permit. Yay. They wanted their shiny card. You know, they want, man, see, I'm legal. Then, of course, a year later, they got to do the training again, and they got to pay another fee. And then after a couple of years of that, they started getting, you know, this sucks. Then they find out that they get stopped at a traffic stop. It shows up that they're armed. Then, they, you know, you got, you know, officers drawing on them and, you know, show me your gun. And all of a sudden, I'm going, hello, you're starting to get it now? Well, then they started changing. Okay, we'll do this. Well, it was going to pass. Well, they convinced the governor not to sign it unless it had a provision in there that anyone law enforcement comes into contact with, they must immediately declare that they got a firearm on them. And then they disarm them. And then they run the numbers. And then they run you through the database. And then, and then, and then, and then, and then. And what do they have? This national database that they're going to be able to do it with in the name of immigration. Really? I know these people. I'm old enough. I'm almost 50. I've just turned 49. I tell you, I'm not like, you know, kind of been playing this a little bit on the side kind of thing. I've been immersed in this stuff daily for 20 years. I don't get all upset when I talk, hey, how you doing? Yeah, word up. You know, oh, you got a little one there, but I got your back. You know, that's, you know, how you doing past the barbecue sauce. I mean, I get along with these guys fine. I don't sit there and want to fight with them and everything. They're just a symptom. There's a side effect of this rampant ism thing that's been going on. It's all about the control. These guys all, and you think human beings are so bad that they have to be governed. By who? The worst of the worst that you're worried about. If you create a government, you create a mechanism, you create a control, you create this ism, well, is it the good people that run up there? Yo, I want to be in charge of people because I'm good. Oh, man. So you know, if you're going to have a government, you know, defense of individual rights, how do you tell when they're bad? You know, when they're not doing that. Well, they're not doing it. Okay? And all I got to do is just keep pointing it out and go, nah, 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 nah. But I tell you, it's going to get really bad. That's why, you know, I go straight up with these guys. That's why I have Heidi Byrick for Southern Poverty Law Center. My name's been in their report since, you know, 94. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And what did she say? We just had her on a couple weeks ago. She says, they're not going to have me on the Patriot list anymore. I used to be. They said I was or something. And I didn't even know. You know, it doesn't surprise me. Because I was listed as a militia back in 94. They sent, because we had SAFE, Second Amendment is for Everyone, was the political action committee that we had in support of the concealed carry initiative that I had filed. So, you know, say, well, of course he's a militia nut. He wants to have constitutional carry. So there, you know, we put him on the list. And I was on the top of the list that they sent to all the sheriffs. I get Sheriff Arpaio calling me and he goes, Ernie, hey, word up, man. You're on top of the list. Because Arizona A, and it was the first one in there, you know, so boom, here I am. And I go, woohoo, I made it. You know, he knew me. He knows all crap, but they use it. It's like, what do you think this MIAC report thing was all about? Gotta get all those guys with, you know, bumper stickers with Ron Paul on it. That's how this stuff happens. Oh, the revolutionary guy, you know, yeah, put me on top of the list. Declare your independence with Ernest Hancock radio show, Freedom's Phoenix, all the stuff I've done, run this, that. Oh, heck yeah, I'm on the list. If you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. What did Heidi say? Yeah, you're not on the list. I go, I got off the list? How did I not get on the list? What the heck I got to do? I go, oh, we're not going to put you on the list because we know you want us to. That's what she said on the air. And I'm going, you know, you guys are killing me, man. This is, you know, because what they don't want is to have someone, you know, they start checking all these people. They don't want people checking on me and what I have to say and what we do and everything. People in opposition, they, all of a sudden they might make sense. No, they get on this list, man. They got to get it all fine-tuned, man. There's got to be some, you know, crazy people. They got to be, you know, the whatever. And if they're not, they'll just make it up and say they are. That's why this Michigan militia thing, I'm just going to hold off on this. Because I can waste a lot of time, and it's all what they say. I'll wait. It's the internet. You know, we'll find out each one of the individuals. You start to find out, oh, yeah, this guy was an informant. This guy turned on this. This guy's going to be a witness for the state. This guy, you know, was nailed back in the day when they moved him in and did. Because I saw it happen here. They had two infiltrators in the Viper militia guy, and all they wanted to do was trying to get everybody to go rob banks. You know, this is how they roll. All right. You know, so you learn a little bit about my history. Let's go ahead and go to Jane, California. What you got to say, Jane?
Hi, Ernest.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Just calling about this. You know, people are actually able to heal burns now. I'm calling because three of my friends burned themselves and got better immediately.
Oh, well, you know, that's thanks for the call, but I mean, it's not what we're talking about right now. And, you know, I appreciate it, Jane. You know, there's, you know, matter of fact, I would be interested. You send me an email to publisher@freedomsphoenix.com because in 94, I was burned really bad. You know, I had third degrees and I had, you know, grafting and all this other stuff. And, you know, but, you know, now's not the time for us to talk about it. You know, thanks for the call, though, Jane, but send it to publisher@freedomsphoenix.com and we'll do something on when we're doing some health issues because I had a lot of things that I did that really helped me a lot and I recovered quickly. Well, thanks for the call, Jane. The main thing that I wanted to focus on here is just, you know, how we got to where we are now. And how we got to where we are now was personal relationships and experiences that I've had with a lot of different people. And I knew the best thing to do is when they're criticizing you and coming after you on things like, you know, the militia involvement and all that, bring the Southern Poverty Law Center into the studio. Get them on the show, man. Let's go. Let's talk about it. How are we doing this? They're manufacturing it. And we're going through another wave. And it's with the same people for the same reasons, using the same methods. So we're just going to sit back a little bit. We're going to relax. And then we're going to find out the truth. We'll do that next week.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart. And baby, satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby.
Yeah, satisfy me here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I just added to today's show, and what I did is I put up there the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act search on Google, so you can go look at that. And I didn't even look at where it takes. I mean, you do a Google search, it'll blow up all over the place. I mean, you know, since then, a lot of people have done references to it. Cato did a study on it and all this kind of stuff. But I mean, you got to imagine. I mean, it had just been passed. They just printed the law. You know, I started learning about what federal registers were and how, you know, all this stuff as a young man in his 20s. How many people were doing that back then? Certainly in their 20s. How many people were just, you know, I just had an interest. I knew I was being lied to. I knew everything they told me in school was crap. The mandatory youth indoctrination camp leaders are telling me all kinds of crap in the mandatory youth indoctrination public schools. You know, seriously? So I, you know, started pulling threads. And it was kind of, you know, all my spare time, I just do it. You know, I had nothing else to do. You know, a lot of people, they spend time on the internet playing, doing whatever. You know, I'm raising kids, running my business, doing whatever. And when I had time, I go sit and read the stuff. I go down to the law library on my way home, and I pick up some stuff. And I just, you know, I started making some phone calls, and I started keeping records. I made 200 phone calls. And I go, okay, I went, and it was like a web. I just kept a notebook, and I still have it. And I have all the stuff in a box, storage box somewhere. And I go, I'm going to just call, okay, where do I go to get this information? Okay, where do I go? And this guy goes, well, you go over here. You go, where do I go? Where do I go? Every now and then, there was one guy going, hey, man, somebody cares. And they'd throw me a bone. Here, check this out. Go look over here. Here's the actual law you need to look at. Here's the CD of the data. Here's, you know, here's, and I'm going, oh, ho, ho. So I had a clean understanding when this was really going on. The next amping up when George Herbert Walker Bush became president, it was at the perfect time. There's a lot of stories that go on. I could spend hours and hours and hours telling all the people I met and how and where, but I tell you what the bottom line was. We are livestock. We are thought of as livestock. We're seen as livestock. We're going to be treated like livestock. And the rancher wants to number his cattle. He wants to know everything that they do, where they go, where they spend their money, what their health is, you know, what investment they can have in them. Are they going to be a positive asset to the system or not? You know, individual rights, the purpose of them to protect individual rights of every human being, whether they live or die or whatever is, you know, we're here to protect the rights. What you do with your rights and how stupid you are and what the ramifications are in society of freedom, that's a whole nother thing. We're here to protect the freedom. That produces the most good. Well, of course, like Clinton was famous for this, they'd pick up some poster child and say, look, this guy's suffering between the cracks of the whatever, and we need a government program. Well, it doesn't matter that you created 47 more poster children by helping this one person. You know, because you've taken away the freedom of everyone. You've diminished the capacity of the free market. You've done, I mean, all this regulation and dial turn and everything is what causes these problems. So I share this information. What we're going to do is next week, I got a little bit of extra time this week. I'm going to take next couple of days, and we're going to go ahead and put up, you know, some experts I have from Harvard on global warming that predicted what was going to happen way back when. Gold and silver manipulation was something I wanted to talk about today, and we got on this other stuff. But gold and silver manipulation, they had meetings, and they're finding out they're 100-1 on what they're actually trading out there that's manipulating the price of gold, and it's really just paper. It's derivatives around the real gold. And when people start saying, I want delivery, what's going to happen? It's going to get stupid. So you're going to hear it here first. Baby boomers, homelessness. I mean, it's rampant. It's across the country. They got camps all over the place. We'll talk about that. Naomi Klein, which is, you know, big leftist, feminist, kind of all of a sudden she's seeing the fascism. You know, she told me, she said, Ernie, you libertarians are right. Try and get her on. Brad Friedman on election fraud, rampant across the country. Sheriff Mack is going to be coming on. Bumper Hornberger is going to be coming on Future Freedom Foundation. Dick Morris, Jordan Page, it goes on.